Cruise ships are getting bigger, but the Sunshine Skyway isn't. How might this affect the future of Tampa Bay's cruise industry? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Kirsten Cooper. Some of the world's biggest cruise ships these days cannot sail under the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. A new study by the Florida Department of Transportation looks at three options: build a taller bridge, build a new cruise facility west of the Skyway, or do nothing. We'll take a look at the future of the cruise industry in the Bay Area in just a moment. But first, we sent WUSF's Bobby O'Brien to Cruise Terminal Number 2 at Tampa's Channelside to gauge the opinions of passengers just returning from a 7-day cruise aboard the Carnival Legend.
Early Sunday morning, before the 2,000 cruise ship passengers disembark, a line of taxicabs forms outside Terminal 2, just beyond idling tour buses. That's where cab driver John Bailey, expediter Thomas Wonder, and driver Ali Hamad stood waiting for fares. They're all fully aware of the cruise ship debate and the options being explored in a recent study.
If they did nothing, eventually these old ships would be taken offline and this cruise business would just dry up here in Tampa. But the other option, if they build it a port outside, what we would be concerned about is if we can wait in line over there at the ship or not.
They're getting the bigger boats. Isn't this already like not sold out and it's only 2,000 and these boats are struggling?
People like going on the big boat. Yeah, the cruise line likes it because they can cram more people on a boat.
It doesn't matter how big is the ship, you know. If they're going to offer much more stuff, more things to do with the ship, more, you know, there's going to be a lot of show in the ship, entertainment for the kids, you know.
If we're talking economics of the cruise lines, what about your guys' economics?
We lose a couple hundred dollars a week each, probably.
We got people been waiting here since 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to get at least 2-3 fare out of their day, because after 10, 11 o'clock, it's done deal.
We, as Hillsborough County cab drivers, if we'd be able to service that port over there or not. Otherwise, just selfish, I would say build a new bridge. As a taxpayer, if I'm just a taxpayer, not a cab driver, I'm going to say, I don't want to spend $2 billion on a bridge.
Hey, Thomas. Taxi?
Their discussion ends as soon as the first passenger emerges from the terminal, followed by a sea of people pulling luggage bags on wheels. Pat Fredrickson from Hernando County is one of the first off the ship. She's an avid cruiser.
Building outside the bridge would be the best bet.
Would you go on a ship, a larger ship?
Yes, I would. I would rather, actually. We live at about 40 miles north of here. We gotta go either over Port Canaveral, and I mean, that's a long ways to drive. Right here, I love coming out of here.
It's no surprise that travel agent Susan Leonidas and her husband, Kerry Leonidas, favor finding a way to bring in the larger ships.
Without the port, we're going to see tourism dry up. We need to do something about this, whether they build another bridge or if they put something either by Tierra Verde or even past the Port of Manatee. We need something. Without it, goodbye cruising.
As the bigger ships come, we could see the one day that Tampa doesn't have a cruise port whatsoever. It could be a dinosaur very fast. We've got to do something.
The cruise industry could dry up too.
I don't think the cruise industry itself is going to dry up, but it's a matter of, you know, the competition for other ports. And the fact is we don't make ourselves marketable. The truth is the cruise industry likes the larger ships. You get more bang for your buck. But more importantly, with the larger ships, the cost is allocated, spread out. So even the cost of cruising is quite a bit cheaper.
That's the opinion of two experienced cruisers, but it matches a first-timer, 18-year-old Sarah Najimal and her friend Natalie Santoro, both from Tampa.
In my opinion, bigger is better. I don't know, like more water slides, more shows. Like, we would miss a lot of the shows because we'd be at dinner and then we would miss the only one that they had going. The bigger ones have like multiple shows like all day long.
The question is then, should taxpayers help supplement to accommodate the larger ship?
I think that it should be like sort of like toll bridges where the people paying the taxes on it are the ones that definitely are using. So it would make more sense that maybe the tax could be added into like tickets or something.
How or if the mega ships should be accommodated may well be decided by who pays for it. For Florida Matters, I'm Bobby O'Brien.
Rich Beider is Assistant Secretary of the Florida Department of Transportation. Welcome to Florida Matters. So what do you think about that? If we don't do anything, the cruise industry dries up.
Yeah, and that's what the whole purpose of this report was. It's a pre-feasibility study to really take the facts and lay it out and let everybody make a debate based upon those facts. We want to get it out of the anecdotal world.
Yeah, one thing I saw in this report that it's a foregone conclusion, according to the report, that these new cruise ships that can carry more than 5,000 passengers, 1,000 feet in length, air drafts of 180 feet, that's the distance from the level of the water to the very top, will soon be the industry standard.
Yeah, it's 185 air foot draft at the bottom of the deck of the bridge and the surface of the water. But yeah, all the new cruise ships, the mega ships, are well beyond that draft level. And one of the things that this report shows quite convincingly is that it's not a guesstimate. In other words, you don't put an order in for a mega cruise ship on a Monday and pick it up on a Friday. These things are in the works for 5+ years. So we know, based upon the ship orders, that the major shipbuilders across the world, the major shipyards, we know what's in the pipeline.
And one thing about looking ahead, the Skyway has a maximum air draft of just over 180 feet. Oopsie. I mean, did they not see the designers back in the late 70s or early 80s? Did they not see this day coming?
Quite frankly, no. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, not necessarily where you're planning for every contingency, and things change, because the technology just wasn't around then to build the types of ships that they have today.
And there's also a channel limitation, too, which restricts the length of the ships that can come in?
Right. In other words, even if you were to raise the bridge, and by raising is somewhat of a misnomer, you'd literally almost have to tear the whole thing down and start over again. But yet you're quite a few miles from the channel side. So, you may have to widen parts of the channel to allow ships to pass each other. Additionally, when you get down the channel side itself, the turning notches, for example, in other words, this is where the ship comes in and turns around. Currently, it's not large enough to accommodate that. So there'd be dredging there, and then there have to be additional infrastructure improvements on the port itself.
Richard Wainio, former director of Port Tampa Bay. We can look at what's happened in the past, right? And last fiscal year, 826,000 cruise passengers came through Tampa. And this year, it will be well over a million. That is a projection. Tampa is a good place for cruise ports because we're closer to the Western Caribbean. Is that all that Tampa has going for it as far as a cruise port?
No. Tampa is a very attractive cruise port within the limitations that are posed. The geographical reach from this port is fairly limited, down to Cozumel and Rotan and Cayman Islands, that area. On a 7-day cruise, you can only get down and back from, you know, a certain distance. So the market itself is limited. You can't just – in fact, I saw in the FDOT study, and it wasn't FDOT. They took this from another consultant, but I saw one item where they stated that the issue with the cruise industry is not a demand issue. It's a supply issue, the implication being that they don't have enough ships and that the market is literally insatiable, that the demand is huge. That may very well be, you know, more or less true on a global basis or on a very broad basis. But when you narrow the focus down to a particular market and a particular port, that's absolutely not true. There are limitations to the market. And those have to be looked at very closely before you start talking about building a cruise terminal that has four berths and can handle literally 8, 10, 12 of these mega ships a week.
Carl Lindell is vice chairman of the governing board for Port Tampa Bay. So this story seems to be one at this point, at least we'll read in the media, is the economic impact. What's going to happen when the ships get bigger? It's the industry norm. We do nothing. If the industry scales way back in Tampa, what's the bottom line to the Bay Area?
Well, you know, it's hard to say who's going to pay for this expansion, but we know that if we built more capacity here and we had the money, obviously we'd get more of the larger ships down the road. But there's other parts of this growth in the cruise industry, too, that we can still address. Smaller ships have the ability to attract affinity groups, people that have interest in music or in scuba diving and whatever. And that's I think that's a big part of the future of diving. That's what people want to be with. People that are interested in similar subjects, you can take 300 or 400 or 500 people and put together fabulous cruises with themes and so forth, and we could handle those and expand that for forever without having to spend $1 billion to come up with a new port solution. But ultimately, there will be a solution found. You've got to find out who's going to be willing to pay for it. And I know we've talked about this on the board many times, and if the cruise ship industry wants to bring big ships to West Florida, and they're willing to commit long-term to leases or commitments, then we can build to that demand. If they are not willing to step up and say, we're going to bring X number of ships here over a long period of time, if you do this, then I don't think we're going to be able to find the money to do these outrageous proposals. That can only be done in concert with the industry and with their future plans. If they want to do something, we'll find a way to make it work if they can put their money up.
I would just say that's absolutely true what Carl just said. But let me, again, getting to the numbers a bit, just to make sure we understand, we're not talking about 1 million passengers on cruise ships through Tampa. We're talking about less than 500,000. Ports double count because they have to handle the people on and off, and that mm-hmm. requires resources. So it's proper that the port look at the on and off movement. But what we're talking about is between 400,000 and 500,000 passengers. And when you start talking the economics, that's what you got to focus on. And what cruise lines are really good at, they're good at a lot of things, but the cruise lines are very good, very good at diversifying their markets. And when you look at the numbers, you got three ports in Florida that handle a couple million passengers each, Miami, Everglades, and Canaveral. Mm-hmm. And then you go down and you start looking around this country and you've got a dozen ports that basically handle, roughly 400,000 to 500,000 passengers, Tampa being one of those. So my point is that they diversify. They have to do that. So they don't put all their eggs in one basket. They're not going to put millions of passengers through Tampa now or in the future. Right now, it has basically peaked. Our target was 1 million on and off, and we're basically there. And that's about what this port would handle at this point and the market that it serves can handle out of Tampa.
How many people who get on a ship in Tampa live here in Tampa?
50% to 60% of the passengers are drive-in passengers. They can come from as far away. If you look in the parking garages, you'll see Tennessee and Georgia and North Carolina plates.
Okay.
Most of them are coming from the Florida area, but a significant number of them also come in from Georgia and nearby states. So you get 60% up to 60%, and I don't think a good study has been done on this yet and not recently, but we keep saying up to 60% are drive-in customers. That doesn't mean they're from Tampa Bay. It means they're probably from Florida and nearby states.
Rich Beider, this study, the FDOT report, looks at three options, as you've mentioned, mm-hmm. which are obvious. Build the higher Skyway, take down the current one, or build a new cruise port west of the Skyway or do nothing. Now, the FDOT is not recommending one over the other, but it appears that building the new cruise facility west of the Skyway seems to be the only viable option. Is that right?
Well, you're correct in that this report does not come out with any recommendations. What we wanted to do was establish a knowledge base, a foundation, upon which to make a decision on how, if at all, to go forward. And that's going to be to the local leadership. In other words, the state's not going to come in here and say, Tampa, you need to do this. It's really for the local, regional leaders to get together and make a decision which way they want to go.
We were talking about the future of the cruise industry in the Bay Area. Ships get too big to sail under the Skyway Bridge. My guests are Richard Wainio, former director of Port Tampa Bay, Carl Lindell, vice chairman of the governing board for Port Tampa Bay, and Rich Beider, assistant secretary of the Florida Department of Transportation. You can view that complete 46-page report by the Florida DOT at WUSFnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. Some of the world's biggest cruise ships these days cannot sail under the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. What does this mean for the future of Tampa's cruise industry? My guests are Rich Beider, Assistant Secretary of the Florida Department of Transportation, Carl Lindell, Vice Chairman of the Governing Board for Port Tampa Bay, and Richard Wainio, former Director of Port Tampa Bay. Rich Beider, Tampa can't be the only port city that has this problem, right? I mean, as far as access to the port for bigger ships, are there other ports that...
For example, in Florida, we have, Richard before mentioned, you know, the three biggest cruise ships ports in the world, Miami, Everglades, and Canaveral. Well, Canaveral is facing its own issues right now, of which we're getting fixed through widening the channel, also increasing the turning notch and doing the dredging to be able to handle, the bigger cruise ships as well as the number of cruise ships that it can handle. Jacksonville, for example, they have a bridge issue, as well as some dredging issues like Mile Point and so forth, where the St. John River meets the intercoastal, of which there's currently fixes in the works, at least for the dredging part. They're and around the world, I mean, as these ships get bigger, you know, traditional ports either have to do something or they'll go somewhere else. One thing I want to hit on earlier, and I think Richard made a very good point, in that when you look at mega cruise ships, they do bring a different economic impact to them. And for example, Port Canaveral and the Orlando International Airport Authority recently came together and signed a mutual MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, to develop a joint marketing program. Because so many people that come in through Canaveral come in through Orlando International Airport. And when you talk about mega ships here coming in that market, of which Tampa Bay is currently losing out of. When you look at that, think about the impacts that it has to Tampa International Airport, Sarasota Bradenton Airport, that, and again, people coming in, staying, you know, before the cruise, staying after the cruise. So that's why we look at the whole region. What is the regional economic impact these ships have?
You know, some of these cruise lines have their own private islands. I know Disney, I guess they all do at this point now. I was looking at the charts. I don't see any unused islands west of the Bay Area. Too bad we can't build one. You said we could build islands. I wonder if that thought has crossed anyone's mind, building our own island out there.
Most of the islands in Tampa Bay are man-made.
Yeah.
And the Spoil Islands, for example, and in the Causeway area, the port has built up the area, and they're going to be adding new berths as the cargo business picks up. Most of Hooker's Point is man-made. All of this is man-made. And so the port and the Corps of Engineers and FDOT, all these people do this all the time, and they know how to do it. Now, we do understand and recognize that this particular location that we're talking about outside of the bridge, once it gets near Pinellas and near those beautiful beaches, it takes on an even more serious issue from the perspective of environmental concern. And people in Pinellas rightly are concerned about that. But again, I think they should give the experts an opportunity to look at this and see if it can be done in a safe and proper manner. The option we're talking about is building an artificial island outside of the Skyway Bridge. We're not talking about putting a cruise terminal on Pinellas.
Manatee's
inside the bridge. I don't know. Well, the people have promoted this idea that somehow Manatee has access to the ocean that Port Tampa doesn't. That's not true. Manatee's inside. Manatee is restricted even more than the Port of Tampa. But we're talking about building a cruise terminal, the possibility of building a cruise terminal outside the bridge on the seaward side of the bridge. And that would involve
an
artificial island that was built primarily from the dredge material from the access channel that would be needed to get up to that point. So you are talking about dredging a channel, building an artificial island, and then having to link it to the mainland with some kind of a causeway for vehicle movement.
But let me say also that what we're talking about is the Tampa Bay region, and I think when we're talking about Manatee, Manatee County goes west of the bridge as well.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about Port Manatee.
No.
Port Manatee is inside
right.
the bridge. Manatee County extends, obviously, outside.
With a sliver of Hillsborough right in the middle of the Skyway. So,
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So, I mean, there's a number of sites that could be looked at, but that's where the feasibility study would come into. You know, what makes sense? What can you do? You know, the environmental considerations. That's all there, and that's what would have to be considered. Yeah. The other thing, and I think you, Carson, hit on this just a little bit ago, is that many of the cruise lines have their own islands and so forth. They're also going beyond that. In the case of I love cruising as well, and Royal Caribbean, for years, went to Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's part of the main island that they go to. And as well as a number of other cruise ships go there. Well, now they've developed their own, on Falmouth, about 60 miles away down the coast, they developed their own compound. And it gets, and I think Richard talked about this earlier, about the cruise ships, and I think Carl as well, talked about how the cruise ships want to keep you in that captive market, whether you're on the ship or on land,
right,
in
right.
their compound, yeah, because it's a greater return of dollars for yeah. them. So I think when you look at the cruise market here out of Tampa, you know, and again, it's up to the cruise lines, what deals they would make about, you know, developing either, you know, in the Caribbean or Mexico or so forth, you know, something what they did in Falmouth vis-a-vis Ocho Rios.
Right,
yeah.
They've been doing that. I would just add, they've been doing that for a long, long time, and they've been doing it all over. The first RCCI project like that, I believe, was Labadee in Haiti, where they have their own area. But they all, Disney, they all have their own areas to go to. Carnival has places on these islands. Rotan and all of these developments that have gone on, even within our geographical reach, are developed jointly with the cruise lines that do this.
Carl Lindell?
And part of the reasons they do that is for the safety of their passengers. I mean, you can't just always let thousands of people off in some little port town and hope that they all get back on the boat and they're happy. So you can't, you know, no more than you'd want to do that if you were in charge of that party. So the more they can control that environment downstream, the better off they're going to be, their passengers are going to be. And it's going to require big investments to continue to grow the interest in the industry. There's got to be places for people to get off the boat and have an experience. And the cruise industry is going to have to provide those places, because some of these little island countries can't necessarily do that without the help of the big boys doing it.
Well, Rich, I'm going to ask you now. The Florida DOT has not come out with a position on what they prefer, but personally, I'll ask everybody here this. What do you prefer as the option? Is it that island or that port west of the Skyway?
You know, I'm just going to say at this point, you know, in representing the state, is that, you know, I think we've done a good job in, you know, recognizing the fact. We actually did release last December a statewide study mm-hmm. on the cruise industry with regards to Florida, what the importance of the cruise industry is to Florida, and what Florida is, the importance Florida is to the cruise industry. And in other words, how do we keep the business that we have? How do we grow the business? Because, again, it's wide regional economic impacts. As it relates to Tampa Bay, we have a structure, we have an impediment to either, number one, growing the cruise industry here, and conversely, that if nothing is done, eventually that cruise industry is going to either dry up or get to a point where it may go like the Carl say, you know, be very a niche market. So what we wanted to do, again, is lay out what, you know, the facts and so forth, and let's have this debate, and let's mm-hmm. let the local leadership decide where they want to go.
Right.
Carl Lindell.
Because it has a big impact. I mean, 25% of our earnings currently come from the cruise ship industry in the port. Now, as a spillover into the other communities around here, like, for example, the beaches of St. Petersburg and Clearwater, they're beneficiaries of this. People do stay a day or two more, or they come early, because we do have a lot here. We have Busch Gardens. We have, you know, you can drive 60 miles to Disney. So this is a good place for people, if they choose to spend a few more days. So we'll have to decide whether what that
value
really is.
And you would prefer
really
the
is.
Option of what?
I'm just saying that yeah. we do have a lot to offer here, and we want to keep people coming, because even though we're a port where most people get on and they leave soon thereafter, there's still a lot here to bring people in. And so I think we're going to have to keep looking at options to grow it. But it's going to have to be with the cruise ship industry willing to spend some dollars as well, so not just the state and not just the Port Authority, but it's going to have to come from the industry itself. They're going to have to tell us what they want.
Okay, so
and then let us figure out how to get it.
We're going to get a lot more information in the future, but as it is now, your sense is that it might make better sense to build that port or build a new facility west of the Skyway?
It may very well be, but I think one thing we need to do is to get the cruise ship industry heavily involved in this decision.
Richard Wainio?
Well, I've been a strategic planner for 40 years, and first thing I'd like to say is that I applaud Richard Bider and FDOT for the work they've been doing in recent years. Since he and some of the others got there, they have been taking a very strategic look at how to develop ports and related infrastructure in this state. You have to do that broad strategic planning. You have to do the conceptual planning, identify issues, identify potential impediments and problems. That's what they're doing. As he pointed out, this is not a full-blown feasibility study. The individual you quoted earlier, who was quoted in the Sunday Tampa newspaper, the Tampa Tribune, he's absolutely right in my perspective that it would be wasting money to do a full blown feasibility study that included all of the engineering and design work at this perspective. It may not have to go any further than a good market assessment and an economic review, and that may tell you that this makes no sense at all. On the other hand, if the market assessment and the economic study indicates that there may be merit to doing something, then you start moving forward with all those environmental studies and design and all of these other things you have to do. So first you need a good market assessment, properly done, again, by people without vested interests and by people overseen. Don't just hand it to a consultant. Make sure that the person responsible for overseeing the project understands these issues very well. And unfortunately, that's usually what isn't done. The missing link is often they pay a consultant, and the consultant gives them what they think they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You need the proper people involved. You need to do a good market assessment. You need to do the economic work. And then you decide whether it makes sense to start pursuing it and spending more and more money.
All right. Very interesting discussion. I have a feeling we may gather again and do this in the future. Richard Wainio, former director of Port Tampa Bay, Carl Lindell, vice chairman of the governing board for Port Tampa Bay, and Rich Bider, assistant secretary of the Florida Department of Transportation. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that is it for today's show. But before we pull up the anchor, a reminder that you can find much more about the cruise industry locally and internationally at WUSFnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link, and we would love to hear from you on our Facebook page. Our show is produced by Lottie Watts with help from Bobby O'Brien and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.